morning, men. Hey, I was thinking about you guys this morning, and I just really commend you. It's so interesting that men would get up this early on a Friday morning, most of you week after week, and come to find out how God wants you to live your life and how you can incorporate God into your daily life. That actually is pretty remarkable when you stop and you think about it. And so I'm honored to be here as your teacher this morning. It just kind of blows me away. We're going to be talking this morning, again in our series, Doing Business God's Way. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. Is it okay to pray for business success? My business is speaking, and so 2 weeks ago, I spoke at the Bible study, and then I knew that I needed to go to Jackson, Mississippi, and I would be speaking all evening. The following day, I would be speaking all morning. I'd be taking two planes to get there, two planes to get back. I knew that on Monday, I would be speaking half a day at a leadership seminar. I would be speaking all day Tuesday. I would be speaking a half a day Wednesday, and then I would be back here on Friday morning over those 8 days. And so I prayed for business success. I prayed, Lord, would you please protect me so that I do not get sick during those days. And then last Friday came, and I was absolutely feeling super. Then I went to breakfast with one of our leaders, and about halfway through the breakfast, I noticed that my throat was starting to feel scratchy, and I have been sick all week long. And so you got to be really careful about that. I mean, I felt so stupid. I said, what a knucklehead. Why didn't you just pray for good health for the rest of the year? What a knucklehead. But you know, it was a blessing to me, because instead of being, oh, boy, I'm sick, you know, feeling sorry for it, I was actually rejoicing and thanking God. It was so crystal clear that he, in fact, I think he made me sick, you know, like 30 minutes after we ended here, because that was the prayer, and did it in such a powerful way that it would draw my attention to the fact that I should be thanking him for the fact that he did answer this unusual prayer. And so it is fitting that today, on the schedule anyway, is this subject, prayer. Is it okay to pray for business success? You know, to want to be successful is a what part of life is that? That's normal part of life. I mean, that's everybody wants to be successful, and that makes sense. But do you ever feel a little guilty or uncomfortable praying for success? Especially, you know, you look around, are all these famines, floods, cancers, disasters in the world, and you know, God is obviously very busy with those things. We had a young woman in our home hosted a thing on a dessert on Wednesday night. She's going to Uganda for 3 months. And my wife is very close to her, and so my wife really is the one that hosted it. I was there. And you see the incredible needs around the world, and then you think, you know, golly, should I be praying for business success? I mean, doesn't that seem kind of selfish or something? But then on the other hand, I was thinking, you know, if you're not successful, you wouldn't have any possibility of helping to support this young woman who wants to go to Uganda. So anyway, we're going to look at this question, because I think a lot of men do sometimes at least wonder, at least maybe they don't feel guilty, but certainly, everybody feels a little uncertain from time to time. So here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about three specific situations, and then we will apply them. One would be prayer for the success of a specific idea. Second will be prayer for the success of a specific task. And third will be prayer for the success of a specific threat. And I'm going to take us through three Bible characters, three stories. You know, I just punched into my computer. You can put these Booleans together and everything with the computer software. So I put in prayer and success. And I got two hits, and I knew about another one. And so we're going to look at a little bit of the story of Nehemiah with regard to the prayer for the success of a specific idea. And then we're going to look at Abraham's servant with regard to prayer for the success of a specific task. And then we're going to look at King David for success against a specific threat. And so Nehemiah chapter 1, you know, it's the Bible, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. That's pretty radical. And so we see the specific applications here in three different situations. The first is Nehemiah. Where is Nehemiah? Let's see. Yeah, right. No, it's not. It's 490. I forgot to mark it, so give me a second here. Okay, here we are. Nehemiah. Now, the situation is that Nehemiah is up in Susa. You know, the Israelites have been in captivity up in Babylon and Persia. But the remnant had been sent back, and they had not had much success. And so Nehemiah's brother comes up to Susa, to the citadel, and Nehemiah was a big deal. Now, what was he? Well, he was the cupbearer for the king. It doesn't sound like much, but that was a very important position. It'd be like a cabinet member, I guess, today. And so he asks his brother Hananiah how things were going. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat and I wept. Because you know, I've got this kind of genetic memory about what's supposed to be back there. And for some days I mourned and I fasted and then I prayed before the God of heaven. And this is what I said. O God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed your commands, your decrees, your laws. Verse 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them and bring them back. Verse 11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayers of your servants who delight in revering your name. And then watch this. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Give me success. I have this idea. What's his idea? Drop down to chapter 2. He was in the presence of the king. Verse 2, the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. That'd be like George Bush saying that to one of his Condoleezza Rice. Well, I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, it's interesting, sadness and fear. So here he is, he has this idea, and he's praying about it, but his emotions, anyway, it's interesting, he's got this vision to do something great, and so instead of being excited, what is he? He's sad, and he's afraid. Have you ever had a big idea, a specific idea that you thought was something you really, really wanted to do, and it made you sad, and it made you afraid? Well, of course, we've all had that. So I'm sure that he felt some kind of a holy passion inside to make this idea happen, which we don't know what it is yet. Well, you do because you read it before, but we haven't read it yet, today at least. He has this holy passion to do this thing, and yet, so he's got a vision, he has an idea. But what is he? He's sad. What is he? He's afraid. In his own words, he says he's afraid. I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, chapter 2, verse 3, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said, what do you want? You know, what do you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can rebuild it. That's his idea. And over at verse 8, last sentence. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my requests. So here you see the prayer for a specific idea. Now, this is not the big idea, but this is an idea that comes from this text. The God who gives visions fulfills those visions through men who pray in humble dependence on his power and might. If God gives you an idea, you can pray for the business success of that idea. One of my favorite quotes, I probably say it here at least once a year, Hudson Taylor said that most Christians estimate difficulties in light of their own resources and thus attempt little and often fail at the little they do attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and presence being with them. So you have an idea. You have the biblical authority here to pray for that idea. Norm Miller, owner of Interstate Batteries, principal owner, was telling me a story about prayer in business. When they were establishing their brand, several competitors were mimicking their system of signing up distributors like gas stations and garages for the batteries, and some of these competitors decided to have conventions. Norm said, well, we'd never had a convention before, but we figured we were probably going to be in big trouble if we didn't have one. So we decided to have a convention in Hawaii. And then after we made the decision, we realized we'd never done a convention before. We had no idea what we were doing. You know, what if we blew it? What if we actually alienated all these people instead of bonding them to the Interstate brand? And so he said, we sat down and talked about it, and we decided to pray that God would make us successful. So we made a list. We wrote everything down on a list that we thought was important. We wanted people to feel the presence of the love of God. We wanted people to have a good time. We wanted people to feel appreciated and connected, and so it'd be God honoring. And then all kinds of practical things, too. We made a list of everything that we wanted God to do. And then we began meeting. This was like 18 months out from the convention. We started meeting every morning at 9 o'clock and prayed through the list every day for 18 months. And then they got to the convention, and people started coming up to Norm and repeating things back that were even the exact words of their prayers. One person said, "Hey, what's going on here? I feel love here. What's the deal?" And one of his specific prayers had been that people would feel the love of God at the place. One woman said, "You know, I'm a convention person. I go to 15 conventions a year. I've never been to anything like this before. I don't understand it." And then somebody came up with a term, started talking about at that convention, the interstate family. And it's stuck ever since. And the distributors of interstate batteries now refer to themselves as part of the interstate family. That's the power of prayer. And so the big idea today is this. To not pray for success is to dishonor Him. The question is, should we be praying for business success? The big idea is, to not do that, it's to dishonor Him. He says, if you whatever you wish, remain in me, my words remain in me, and ask for whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Anything you ask for in my name, I will do it. So what's your idea? Make you afraid? Make you afraid? I know it does. A little sad? Maybe it's taken a long time? Yeah. Pray for business success. And then second, let's look at prayer for the success of a specific task. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to look at here at Abraham's servant. Abraham's servant. Abraham is an old man now. His wife is deceased. And the Bible says the Lord had blessed him in every way except his son. Did not yet have a wife. And so, in verse 2 of Genesis 24, he said to the chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac." And then there's a little exchange back and forth, but the servant goes down to Nahor, where Abraham's family comes from, and at verse 12, he takes his camels, he kneels, he's down by the well, and he prays this. Verse 12, "O Lord God, God of my master Abraham, give me success today. Give me success today. Praying for success today. And show kindness to the master." Abraham. And so you see, there is a very specific task that he's been given. You know, for you, it might be a project. It might be a sale. It could be starting a business. It could be doing a work-specific task. Maybe you have to repair something today. and you're not quite sure if you can get it done or not. Maybe it's launching a new product. Maybe you're on a deadline. But it's a specific task that you have, and the biblical example here is that you can pray for the success of that. You can pray for the success of that. There's an idea here. It's not the big idea. But this is it. Jesus has invited us to pray about anything and everything. Jesus has invited us to pray about anything and everything. Another Norm Miller story. Norm began to pray early as they were building his company that God would multiply the marketing and promotion expenditures of the company in extraordinary ways. Well, they started praying that. That was something they needed to do. And so a couple up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, had been driving in a rainstorm and drove their car into a lake. They were okay. Well, their record came out the next morning, and then Paul Harvey reported on his show that when the wrecker pulled the car out of the lake, the headlights were still on and the windshield wipers were still going back and forth. And so Paul Harvey said on national radio, he said, "Man, wow, I wonder what kind of battery that was." And so then somebody called him up and said, "Well, it was an Interstate battery." And so the next day, Paul Harvey says on national radio, Yeah, I got deluged with calls from you people wanting to know what kind of battery that was. So we found out it's an Interstate battery, 24-something. And all of a sudden, the Interstate brand rocketed onto the national scene. Because Norm had prayed, "God, please take our advertising and promotion dollars and multiply them beyond our expectations." And so they took Interstate batteries and they started their first major marketing expenditure ever. They started advertising on the Paul Harvey show. And for 10 years, they became a big sponsor of Paul Harvey because Paul Harvey listeners are very loyal to the Paul Harvey products, the ones he endorses. So, the big idea here today, to not pray for success. If you're at a meeting for a young woman who's trying to go to Uganda for 3 months and she needs some money and you don't have any money, because you haven't prayed for success, you're dishonoring the Lord by not praying for success. I hope this is turning this a little upside down on you. To not pray for success, it dishonors the Lord. I think a lot of us are leaving a lot of success behind because of false guilt and uncertainty and a certain discomfort with success that is not found in the Bible. Okay? All right. And then third is the prayer for success against a specific threat. Wow, there's a lot of S words in there. If you would, turn to 2 Samuel Chapter 5. We have looked at this story in years past here in this Bible study. The Philistines have come up against David. What is David's business? Well, I guess he had a lot of... Yeah, he's shepherd and king. What other businesses were David in? He was a warrior. He was a military man, and so he was in the military business, among other things. And so the Philistines come up, and they spread themselves out, it says, in the Valley of Rephaim. And in verse 17... when David heard about it, he went down to the stronghold, verse 18. Now the Philistines had come up and spread out in the Valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. He prayed, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? So this, you know, a lot of times there are these threats that you have, these situations, and you don't know what to do. You don't know whether to go to the right or the left. I mean, a lot of times you have an idea, so you know what you want to do. So you pray for the success of that specific idea. Or you have a specific task that you need to accomplish, and so you pray for the success of that specific task. You know what you want to do. But a lot of times you really don't know what you really need to do. You know, you've got a competitor. All of a sudden, Walmart's moved into town, and you're trying to sell pencils in a little store downtown, a little office supply store downtown, or Office Depot, or whatever, you know. And so you're in trouble. I mean, I'm from Albert Lea, Minnesota, and I was up there within the last year speaking, and out on the edge of town by the interstate, there's this huge Walmart, and this incredible retail sector built up all around there. And then went to downtown, which is Albert Lea, I remembered, and you know, there's dust everywhere. I mean, limited activity. And so there's a threat. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. David inquired of the Lord, shall I go? Will you hand them over? The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went, and he defeated them. Awesome. He prayed for business success. Idea here. Pray, especially when you think you already know what to do. Watch the next thing that happens here. Verse 22, once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David said, well, I prayed. God said, go against them. I went against them. I had a victory. Here they come again. Here we go again. We're gonna drive these guys into the ocean. But that's not what David does. Verse 23. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, the Lord did, do not go straight up like you did the last time, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines. So, you're under threat. Been here before, maybe. Maybe you haven't, maybe you have. Let's say you have. You're able to fend off a competitor. And now another competitor has come into the you're trying to buy a piece of property you want to develop. And there are five of you that are trying to buy the property, and you finally work it out so that you're able to get the seller of the property to want to do business with you against competitor A, and then all of a sudden you're about to sign the deal and competitor B shows up on the scene. There's a late bidder. What do you do? Do you rely on competence? David could have relied on competence. He could have relied on experience. Do you rely on your determination? I'm a willful person. I make things happen. Speaking for myself. I'm a willful person. I make things happen. I do. You do too. And so, in some sense, I already know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I need to do. I can make this happen. Just an idea. Pray. Especially when you think that you already know what to do. Especially when you think that you already know what to do. Because to not pray for success is to dishonor him. All right, now let's just apply it a couple of ways. Three ideas. Number one, The Bible says pray without ceasing. It also says pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There are two businessmen here in town. Many of you know them. And they're good friends. And they talk on the phone several times a day. And I've heard them talking to each other. There is a familiarity in their conversation, a shorthand that they use with each other, an affection in their voices. And they almost kind of like, they're almost like married. I mean, but they talk to each other back and forth all during the day. Well, when I talk to either one of them, I'm pretty good friends with both of them. But I only talk to them maybe, you know, once a week or once every couple of weeks. And so I have a very different relationship with them than the relationship that they have with each other. And it's the same way with our Lord and Savior Jesus. If you only talk to Jesus every now and then, you're just not going to have the same kind of relationship as somebody who's talking with him several times a day, kind of has a running conversation with him. So pray for success and pray without ceasing. Just constantly be in prayer. That's number one application. Think about it. Number two, make a list. Make a norm list. Make a norm list. Make a list of all the things that you want to have happen. All the things you want to succeed. All the ways in which you want to succeed. And then make an appointment. Set a time where every day you're going to sit down and you're going to pray through your list. That could be a lifelong thing, or it might be for this specific idea that you have. Or maybe it's the specific task that you're trying to accomplish. Make a list. Sit down. Make an appointment. Try to be consistent. Read a book. Just so happens I have a brand new book out. Have I got a book for you? A Man's Guide to the Spiritual Disciplines. But one of the chapters in here is on prayer. And get a resource. Get this resource. Oh my gosh, look at this dedication. To Jim Seibert, my friend and co-laborer for 2 decades, your servant heart and passion for Christ inspire me to be a better man. Thanks for making me laugh. Yeah. All right, so there you got 3 ideas, right? Prayer without ceasing, right? Have a conversation with God, ongoing, running dialogue. Make a list, and then get some kind of a resource. Let's just see what the prayer at the end of this chapter is. Let's pray. Father, this spiritual discipline of prayer has been the chief business of your great saints throughout the ages. Lord, we pray that you would make it our chief business too. We want to understand that prayer is a conversation with you back and forth, and that by this conversation, a precious salvation also becomes a close relationship. Father, please encourage me to sit regularly with you in your school of prayer. Give me the conviction that prayer is the most powerful and efficient investment of time. Also, help each of us to set prayer as our first disposition. Whatever we encounter, good or bad, may our automatic response be to pray, to talk it out with you. Because to not pray, and especially to not pray for success, it's to dishonor you. We ask this in your wonderful and powerful name. Amen.